Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. What a wonderful day it is, and it's good to be back with you. But this is a day that the Most High has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad. Let us sound the shofar. Before our Abba in prayer. Sisters, with your heads covered, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, we love you today. And we show our love by keeping your commandments. And this day being attributed to the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I'm praying for my family, the Mishpacha, throughout the four corners of the earth, the remnant, those that honor you, those that are going through, those that made it this far. And I'm praying that they'll continue to persevere as we, your people that are called by your name, stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been set free by our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. Bless the prophets that prophesy and the people that will hear the word today, because we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Yah, the Most High God. We love you today, Father. Shema Israel. Kingdom does reign and shall reign forevermore. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Al Hoyda. I am Elder B, also known as B the Preacher. I'm a little jubilant and excited because it's been about 3 weeks since I've been here. It's good to be back with you all. Thank you for your patience. Real quick before I go into anything, Blueprint for Life is a lesson that's designed to help us to understand that the statutes, laws, and commandments are a blueprint for how we should conduct ourselves. And it doesn't put us under the law, but it's a fence around us for protection. And it's designed to restore the moral fiber of our communities and keep us on the straight and narrow so that we can do a 180 when we utilize grace. So I wanted to clarify that. It's been a lot going on, I can say, in my life and quite a lot of other people's lives. First and foremost, I wanted to acknowledge some things and kind of repent to the listeners and the audience for some of the things that have transpired in the past. Sister Tamar will not be with us anymore. She's decided to pursue a professional career as opposed to following the divine order that the Most High has set, which is the Most High God, Yeshua Jesus Christ, man, and then woman. And that's something Brother V is not going to stand for. I'm repenting because I should not have been letting her teach, preach, or read these scriptures according to the word of Yah. And in my mistake, I may have misled quite a few people. The heart of a Hebrew woman is no more. I've disbanded that because it's not going to happen on my watch. And I don't want to make any remarks that are of hindrance to her or derogatory remarks. But brothers and sisters, we live in a time with this Me Too movement, these Tyler Perry movies and Black Girls Rock, that It's hard to keep our women on the straight and narrow. As a matter of fact, I got a dear brother who I'm praying for today. He gave me a call and said that there was a sister who attacked his platform. And now he's going through some things legally that he's going to have to deal with. And it seems like Hashatan is utilizing these relationships to keep brothers more in the courtroom than in the church room. But you best believe I've been doing this show for 12 years. And I'm the one who was called and anointed by Yah to do this and to preach this word and not anyone else. And I'm a firm believer that a woman should be in her place. So if I'm a male chauvinist, well, I'm the president of the Male Chauvinist Club because Yah has divine order. You know, even as I think about that, reminds me of something in the word. And I want to read it because what's happening is we're living in a time of Isaiah, the third chapter, where in Isaiah 3, he said, "Woe unto the wicked, it shall be with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause you to err and destroy the way of the past, when we allow the women to take charge." And so I'm, in all humility, apologizing sincerely, because there ain't going to be no watchman over here. So may the Most High bless Sister Tamar and her endeavors, but she won't be on here anymore. And my heart goes out to you brothers that are having to deal with this, and this is not the first time it's ever happened. I want to read something else to you. 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. This is talking about Elisha. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Ahab was a coward. His wife was leading him. He going to tell his wife on another man. And he said how he had slain all the prophets with his sword. The man was scared of another man. Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, she told her husband, "I'll handle this. So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Verse 3, and when he saw that Jezebel sent this letter, he arose and fled for his life. Elijah ran, a mighty prophet, and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey. Elijah ran for a whole day from Jezebel, scared, into the wilderness and sat under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake, it was coals. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great." What's my point? One of the strongest, greatest prophets was scared of a treacherous woman and fled for his life. And the angel of the Lord had to come and touch him and tell him, "Shake yourself, because I'm getting ready to send you back. You're going to deal with this." In the end, Jezebel had to be dealt with. There's a spirit in the land right now. That spirit is because of what Isaiah 3rd chapter said. When women lead, destruction and error comes. So Satan has set that up, which is why he approached Eve first. Because silly women, as according to what Paul said, are laden with sins and they're led astray. They're enticed by wicked words. This is why Paul also said, Whoever finds a wife finds a good thing. But you know why Paul said that? Because Solomon said, who can find? Even Solomon knew that you couldn't find. He said, because if you can find, her price is more precious than rubies. If you could find a virtuous woman today, she'd be worth $1 million. Which is why Paul said, whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing. Because he knew what Solomon said in the Old Testament. Who can find? I want to admonish you, brothers, to stand firm. Don't be effeminized. Let your woman lead you, take control, take over, because the corporate world is calling upon her, or because she's threatening you with whatever. That's the time we're living in. I need men to stand up and be men. Because you are the head, you are the image of Yah, and he will not forsake you. All you have to do is seek him first and praise him. As a matter of fact, the title of today's show is What's in Front of You is Better Than What's Behind You. I'll be back with the herb of the day.
Yeah, I want to sing my song. Mr. Gardner, Mr. Gardner. But I got to say like David and make some declarations.
For sure.
Because you see the day and age that we're living in. You can't try to steal from the hand that feed it.
But mama, you
some of us do that. You know?
Yeah.
High's will. All praises to the Most High. So I hope you didn't miss the first part of the segment so you understand where we are. We need for men to be real men and do what you're supposed to do and what you're called to do. Let them sisters keep on cooking and cleaning. I'm keeping it real. Things have gotten out way out of control around here. It's time for the health segment. I want to give to you, as I said, I started this stuff all by myself a long time ago, because this is the ministry the Most High has given me. And when the Most High gives you a mandate, you can't get comfortable and lax and try to pass on your responsibilities, because your blessing lies in your obedience. And you must do what God tells you to do, the Most High Yah. Yes, sir. That's the way it goes down. Listen, the herb of the day, the day that I want to talk about very potent and powerful. It's the maitake mushroom. Probably heard of the maitake mushroom. It's an adaptogen, anti-tumor, anti-cancer. It's a stimulant, antibacterial, and loaded with antioxidants. It's called the maitake mushroom. It's the king of healing mushrooms, found to be the most potent adaptogen by leading oncologists in Japan. Researchers claim that maitake's unique polysaccharide compound has at least beta 1.6 glucan, makes it superior to all of the mushrooms. And what it does is it helps to lessen obesity, regulate blood pressure and blood sugar, and inhibit HIV and AIDS virus. It also has been used for stress, chronic fatigue, rheumatoid arthritis, high cholesterol, constipation, tumors, diabetes, liver, prostate, colon, and breast cancer. I think we all need to go after the Shabbat and get some maitake mushrooms and incorporate that into our diet. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Most definitely needed. So I'm going to keep Brother D in prayer and my other brother in prayer and everyone out there that's going through the storm of transition. We got to stand because we're still getting closer than ever before to the return of the Most High and His coming. And we're being tested and tried. But the beautiful thing about being tested and tried is that after Noah built that ship for that ministry for 120 years, he didn't ever hear from the Most High again until the Most High came and shut the door. And his ministry didn't take off until the storm came. And he didn't realize the storm was over until a strong wind blew. And that was after 40 days and 40 nights of rocking and reeling and his family questioning him and having to sleep with a bunch of animals and smell feces. It gets thick. And we have to stand in the thickness. There's a word that I love called vicissitudes. And the word vicissitudes, it means unexpected changes in life. The only way you can be prepared for unexpected changes in life is to have integrity and character in the relationship with Yah and be filled with the Ruach so that when a transition comes that rocks you, you're able to stand. Because here's the thing, what you didn't know, the Most High knew was coming. And if you have been serving him and praising him, he's already made preparation for the transition. The transition is transformation. So you've got to be prepared. And as a man, you can take it. Don't go fall up under the skirt of a woman and be scared. A lot of these women have all types of, they got 911 tattooed on their arm. And they're looking to take control. Is this a vendetta day today? No, it's just an understanding that you can't allow someone to say they're co-equal or to try and destroy you or take your calling or take your purpose. Because they were put here to support. And that support does not mean you need to be vocal. So we'll understand that. Let's get into the reading of the law today. I think I wanted to go to Psalms 19, but I think I'll go to the New Testament for the reading of the law today. And I'm going to go to Hebrews 10, 28 through 31. Is something that's being misinterpreted by a lot within the Christian church. And they're misinterpreting this scripture because it is so plain and clear that the law is not done away with. Hebrews 10 and 28 says this, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." Now, this is definitely referring to what happened in the Torah and Tanakh. But let's go on to hear what Paul Shaul was saying. Verse 29. "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of Yah and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. Again, the Lord shall judge his people. So what he's saying in 29 is that, suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under the foot of the Son of Yah, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. So you're going to say that now it's not necessary, it's not holy, and we don't have to do it. You are falling up under the same curse as 28, because he's giving you 28 as a warning about not keeping the laws. Now let's go to Psalms, the 19th chapter. Hallelujah. Coming to you from beautiful Northern Cali. We getting it in today, and ain't nobody mad but Hashatan. Psalms 19 and 7 goes like this. For the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Verse 9, the fear of the Most High is clean, enduring, check this out, forever. The judgments of the Most High are true and righteous altogether. Did everybody hear forever? Verse 10, more to be desired are they, the commandments, than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward. Keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. The keeping of the commandments bring you all of these things. Let no one tell you that the law is done away with. It'll never be done away with. All praises to the Most High.
Glory, glory.
welcome back to Blueprint for Life. It's good to be back with you again on this Shabbat. I said it's been almost a month since we've been on the line, but we will continue with the ministry. The ministry don't stop. Worshiping and praising Yah don't stop. This is a lifetime commitment. I am committed for life, come hell or high water. And I've been doing this, I've been in this truth for some 26 years, but knowing and serving the Most High pretty much my whole life. I was born into this, born up under pastors and in churches. Haven't always been right, like prodigal son. And I thank him for every testimony, every mountain, every valley, because it's made me the man I am today. To better understand and be empathetic and have a praise for Yah, come hell or high water, and be consistent and know that we fall down and we get up. So listen, I want to tell you something. Life is filled with frustrations. We get frustrated about life and things and people, but those frustrations come as a source of transformation to keep you pushed into the promise. Because the Most High said, I know the plans that I have for you. He's a planner. And those plans are to do you good, not to harm you. But sometimes when he knows he doesn't have your heart quite where it needs to be, he has to keep you in complexity to keep you on your knees. Because he wants to bless you, but he doesn't know if he can trust you. It's like some of the people and relationships we're in. You want to do everything and take it to the next level, but you don't know if you can trust something. Frustrations come from failed expectations, and you didn't even know what you were looking to have or receive. But because it didn't go the way you thought it might go, or the way you planned, you become frustrated. But frustration is there to push you. It becomes your friend if you allow it to keep you persevering. And that's the key. Usually we say, you know, why am I going through this? You have to learn how to manage what you can't see. And that's what I talked about earlier. That word is called vicissitudes. These frustrations can be very damaging. There's a lot of people that suffer. I was talking about mental illness. I said I would talk about that because there's a thing called bipolar disorder. Our people have PTSD, and a lot of our women are dealing with bipolar because it leads to promiscuity and a lot of different things and inconsistency and changes in attitudes. But not everybody, it's not a sin. It's a generational curse. It's a DNA thing. It's a genetic thing. It's just something that needs to be addressed, probably medically, physically, until you get delivered by Yah and receive the Ruach and become submitted to his will. There's something that's known. Let me share this with you. There is something known as situational depression, and it can often be diagnosed as you having some type of a bipolar disorder. But in all actuality, situational depression is not a chemical, physiological, or psychological imbalance. It's a state of sadness from a series of traumatic events that happen over and over and over, and you feel you can't get out because you're stuck in a cycle. And these traumatic events just keep happening in your life. And it's because of your spiritual immaturity to recognize where the Most High is trying to take you. But it puts you in a condition called situational depression, and this often leads to you becoming addicted or addictive behavior, having you picking the same type of mates constantly, keep making the same type of mistakes. And it's often because you're not depending on Yah. He hasn't become your source yet, because you fall more in love with a person as opposed to falling in love with Yah. And it's sad when we think that Yah is here to do things for us. He's our genie in the bottle. We're here to serve him, not him serve us. You've been taught wrong. And this also leads you into situational depression, because most of you don't come crying until this consistent traumatic revolving event continues to happen. And until you can get like Job, who said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Job prayed and praised him when it was good, and he prayed and praised him when it was bad. He said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of Yah. See, I've got to get to this even plateau, and I have to realize that my source and my joy is not in that job, that promotion, that woman, or the life that I have built for myself, or the dream that I want to achieve. Because my dream means nothing if it's outside of what he has planned for me, which is far better. Which is why the title of my lesson today is what's in front of you is better than what's behind you, because more than likely, what you picked and designed for yourself crumbled. And now you've got to rebuild. And as you rebuild, you best believe it has to be centered around what he originally told you to do that you were distracted from. Paul said it was like a thorn in the flesh. He was thwarted because he was often distracted. Even when he said, I try to do good, but evil was present. We have to understand these things. The important thing is, let me read Romans 14 and 7. Then I'll get to my key scripture. Romans 14 and 7 says this. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Most High. And whether we die unto him. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are his. But to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. This ain't about you. And until we realize that, the constructs and dreams that we keep developing that are outside of the anointing that he's given you. See, there's something that you do and you do it well. But you start to envision another life that you want for yourself. And often you're led astray by some relationship or some marriage or something, trying to please a woman. This is why Paul said, he said, I wish that you could be single, because when you're single, your desire is to please the Most High. But when you're married, your desire is to have to please that woman, which will more than often lead you astray. So there's something you do well. And when you began to go another direction based upon you trying to achieve what the world says is success, because see, we could be doing something well, but you see somebody else doing something and you like that and identify with that and try to model yourself or pattern yourself after something else you saw, you get in trouble. What am I trying to say to you? Listen to this. Israel saw what all the other nations were doing and told Yah through the prophet Samuel that we want a king just like them. He pled, he cried, was high, was hurt, and said, you don't need a king. But because they saw something that impacted them, affected them, that they wanted, you know, keeping up with the Jones, comparative self-worth, they're like, we want a king too. So Yah said, go ahead, give him a king. They're going to find out. I'm going to give them what they want. They gave him Saul. He was a terrible king, man full of arrogance. You know, you get drunk with pride when you get some money or you get some promotion or you get something that you think you've always wanted. It's going to tear you down. Saul was so arrogant, he built a statue while he was alive of himself. But the key I'm making is that picking a king brought Israel to destruction, and the kingdom became split, and they went through hell. God had to take control of that and say, well, since you want a king, I'm going to pick the king. Because this first one was not a man after my heart. And the point I'm making is that we often look at what other people have, other nations are doing, and we want that same thing. And it leaves you in ruin. How long will you go in circles and cycles and destroy your life and not submit to Yah's will for your life? Because see, what feels like restriction is protection. Oftentimes with success, we lose our commitment. We drop everything. I don't need this. I don't want that. I'm successful. And then people get in your ear. You don't even realize they sent from Satan. And so he has to keep you in crisis just to keep you praying. He can't trust you. And a lot of you, he'll turn you over to what you want. And you best believe what's coming around the corner, it's not going to be good. It's easier to deal with people who aren't perfect. This is what the Most High says, than people you can't trust. And whatever the Most High picks for you is much better than what you pick for yourself. Sorry about that. We were cut off, and I am back. So as I was saying, to constantly look back would only make you Lot's wife. And we know that that leads to a state of destruction. So I want to encourage you today that no matter what you're going through and you feel your dreams are broken, those weren't the dreams that he had for you. I want you to press toward the mark to obtain your prize and to set your eyes on what's in front, because you're going to be obedient to the gift and call that's on your life. The gift that has a special anointing that you do better than anybody else. Don't get outside yourself. Don't cater to someone else. Don't try to be like another nation or be like somebody else. Don't sit up there and cry over a broken relationship, lost job. Move towards your promise and your future, and let the Most High bless you and take you where you need to be. This is Brother V. I'm glad I could be back with you. It's been a while from a different location, but I want you to know that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it.
because truth is a journey and not a destination. We can win. You're going to win. We got a lot to do, but only what you do for Christ will last.
Shalom. We're gonna tear your kingdom down, oh Lord. Say, oh, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh yes, you've been a building your kingdom. Oh Lord,
all over Israel.
That's all right. Preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down.
Jesus. Mm-hmm.